Welcome to the Two Guys New Money podcast. Today is Thursday, June 13th, 2019, middle of the trading day. This is Jim Garber and Sean Balog of Process Design Capital Management in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. I know we wanted to talk about interest rates today, at least begin there. I also want to touch on what's happening with oil, with this issue going on in the Strait of Hormuz. But why don't you lead off, and yeah, I'll probably jump in technically.
I don't want to talk so much about the absolute level of interest rates or where interest rates are going into that. I want to talk about, you know, how do you make investments in fixed income with interest rate, with who knows what interest rates are going to do. So anyway, Sean sent me this graph today. It is analyst expectations of the yield on the Treasury note as of January of this year. Okay, so it's their projections of where in June, July, the 10-year was going to be. At that time, it looks like the 10-year was about 2.8%, it looks to me. There, it looks like there's maybe 30 analysts that made their predictions. Four of them got the direction right, believe it or not, out of about 30. The rest of them ranged in yield between that 2.8 up to, looks like about almost 4%.
Over 4%.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, at the same time, the point and figure chart on the 10-year yield had a price objective of 195, and that's still the price objective.
And remember, we're at 2.1 right now.
We're at 2.1. We started the year at 2.6. So these guys were projecting higher rates. The point and figure chart was projecting lower rates than even where we are now. But the difficult thing is when you listen to pundits, how do they know where interest rates are going to be a year from now? They have no better way of guessing that, obviously, than you or I.
That's all they're doing. I mean, they use all their magic stuff.
Sure.
To figure out what's going to happen.
And 46 out of 50 of them didn't even get the direction correct, so, much less the absolute value.
The point is that it's really hard to predict these things. So what do you do in the fixed income world? I mean, pretty much everybody age 60, 65 up has some portion of their portfolio in fixed income, the stuff that pays yield, and you should. So what do you do? Up until a few years ago, about the only thing a guy could do is buy mutual funds. Unless you had at least $1 million, then you could buy individual bonds. But let's just say you don't have $1 million to put into fixed income, but you still need fixed income. You had to buy mutual funds. The trouble is when you buy like a long-term mutual fund, a 30-year mutual fund, a 30-year mutual fund 30 years from now is still a 30-year mutual fund.
When you say 30-year mutual fund, you mean 30-year average duration.
Yeah, average duration.
Or maturity.
Average maturity.
Right.
It always stays 30 years. A 10-year average duration mutual fund will be 10 years, 20 years from now. The 5-year will be 5 years, 20 years from now. The point is that you can't do what you really want to do or need to do in mutual fund land. It's always been kind of difficult. Well, with the advent of exchange-traded funds, ETFs, those things that trade on the New York Stock Exchange or over-the-counter, just like a regular stock, you can do it. There is these funds, and I'm not going to bring up, you know, a specific ETF because we're not recommending anything here, is you can now buy ETFs that consist of maybe 200 or 300 different bonds in the portfolio that mature in a specific year. Now, they all won't mature on the same date, but during that year, whenever they mature, they'll all mature. So for instance, you can buy a 5-year investment-grade bond ETF that matures in 5 years. So in 5 years, you get all your money back. You can buy them out 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. You can go out 10 years and buy a fund that you know at the end of 10 years, you're going to get all your money back. And the reason that I think it's a good deal for the investor and might make sense is that you can do what we've been doing around here for a while, and that's doing bond ladders. In other words, since you don't know where interest rates are going to go, you may buy a 5 to 10 year ladder. Let's say you have a $500,000. You buy a bond that matures 5 years from now, another one 6, another 7, another 8, another 9, another 10. So 5 years from now, you have a bond, you have 20% of your portfolio coming due, and what do you do then? you buy whatever the 5-year is at that time. The next year, you buy whatever the 5-year is at that time. Your portfolio will never have really low interest rates, will never have really high interest rates. It'll be a good average, but the most important thing is that you won't have a whole heck of a lot of money at real risk.
And I'm going to define that for a second.
Just remember, if you do a 5-year ladder, 20% of your portfolio is coming due every year, is maturing.
That's a smart approach. The problem is, as Jim laid out earlier, is a bond with an average duration, average maturity of 10 years, 20 years from now, we'll still have an average maturity. So that doesn't sound bad on the surface. The nice thing about owning a bond or doing a bond ladder or something along those lines is if you bought something with that 10-year average duration, 5 years from now, you're only going to get the volatility of a 5-year bond.
Exactly.
That's the difference. You're not constantly being affected by the 30-year or 10-year or whatever it happens to be swing of a mutual fund. That's the scary thing about mutual funds that most people don't know, is that when rates do go against you, you'll get destroyed, and you'll stay destroyed. It will take so much longer for those assets to cycle back to value.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a long-term bond fund and you bought it yesterday, we know one thing for certain. At some point in time, rates are going to go up. I don't know when they're going to go up, but they're going to go up. And when they go up, they'll go up and they'll stay up for a reasonable length of time, just like low interest rates have stayed low for a long period of time. So if a 30-year bond rates go from 2% to 4%, that 30-year bond fund is going to go in half. And it's going to stay there. For a long, long time. If you're okay with that, fine. If you're not, maybe you should have done something different.
So the average listener may say, does this apply to me? So if you participate in a state-sponsored retirement program, your 401k, you want to understand what the duration or maturity of these assets is. And that's where you're at risk. That's the area you don't even think about it. It's a fixed income asset. You put money in there, not realizing it's a 20-year average maturity, average duration. So that's why we bring this up. Now, the investment vehicles we're talking about may not be available in those vessels, but there are strategies you can employ to help reduce that risk.
If one of you out there is thinking about doing fixed income and needs some help, just give us a call. We're more than happy to show you how to do it.
Let me talk really quick. I've only got a moment or two here left about what's happening with oil. A Norwegian tanker hit a magnetic-based mine. And then a Japanese tanker was torpedoed in the Strait of Hormuz, allegedly. And I tell you what, 10 years ago, what would this have done to oil? I mean, that would be a spike in oil. It's up a little less than 2% today in a downtrend on a sell signal. Oil's currently trading at about 52 and a quarter a barrel. And the price objective is $35 a barrel at present.
I'm surprised the market wasn't down. I thought when I heard that.
Oh, the stock market.
Yeah, I thought the stock market.
Sure. You could easily come up with rising trade tensions and sanctions and all that sort of headline dialogue. But yeah, here we are, oil. And I think largely this is because the United States has become such a big producer. Sure, a third of the world's oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz, but that means the two-thirds don't. And so the world has changed quite a bit. And a lot of these stocks are bouncing today. The price of oil is up a little bit. But if I were looking at this, it's by far, very far from a bullish scenario on the price of oil. And in fact, prices look to be going lower.
With that, we're done, folks. Thanks for listening to us once again. And we'll talk to you all in a week or two.